In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Our dear Lord, we thank you and we bless your holy name. We thank for your nativity, for your birth, for coming into our world in order to save us and to give us joy, peace, and hope. Thank you for bringing us together, fellowship of love, and in one spirit to worship you and to praise you and to learn from you and from your holy words how to walk our journey into heavenly Jerusalem, into the promised land. Because we are strangers and sojourners here on earth, and our home is in heaven. Open our hearts in order to receive your words. Open our hearts in order to understand the depth of your love, so we can completely surrender to your will and overcome all the obstacles that hinders us from following you throughout the way. Let this convention, let those who came from different places in order to have a spiritual time with you, remember those who are still driving or in their way, bring them all safely, and help us to fulfill and benefit during these days from our presence together and our presence in with you. Accept our prayers through the intercession of Saint Mary, the Mother of God, Saint Mark the Evangelist, and all the saints who have pleased you since the beginning. Hear us, O Lord, when we pray thankfully. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Christ Jesus our Lord, for the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. First, I'd like to welcome all of you to our annual graduate convention. And as you know, this convention, we call it TCL, which is short for Toward Canaan's Land. Canaan's Land, or the Promised Land, symbolizes heavenly Jerusalem. And all our life here, we are in a journey. And our destiny is heavenly Jerusalem. And the Divine Liturgy reminds us every time that we are sojourners in this world. And sojourners means we are in a journey. Sojourners means we are in a journey. And our goal is to reach our home, which is heavenly Jerusalem. We started a series of lectures. The first series, which was 2 years ago, it was about the Exodus from Egypt, which symbolizes, actually, Exodus from the land of slavery and following God and starting our journey toward Canaan's land or toward heavenly Jerusalem. Last year, it was about their journey in the wilderness of Sinai. And this year about crossing the Jordan River and entering into the promised land. And that's why our Bible study tonight is from Joshua chapter 3, which describes to us the crossing of Jordan River in order to prepare us to the journey into the promised land. I think in the papers with you, first there is the chapter, Joshua chapter 3, and then there are 6 questions we'll try to answer together. So I need somebody to read this chapter for us.
Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of our Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.'" So Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites, and the Hivites and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall cut off the waters that came down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap." So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan.
Before we answer the question, let's just understand this chapter. I want you to imagine with me what happened here. We have Joshua, the leader, and also we have the priests holding the Ark of Covenant. And we have the people. And then, once the priests with their feet touched, the Jordan River, the bottom of Jordan River, the water split. And then all the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. So here we have to understand some analogy. As I told you, the Promised Land, Canaan's land, symbolizes what? Symbolizes heavenly Jerusalem, heaven. Okay. Joshua is a symbol of whom? Christ. Why Moses did not take the people into the Promised Land? And why it was Joshua, not Moses? لا أنا مش سامعك. Why? Yeah, God actually did not allow Moses to enter the people into the Promised Land. Why?
Cannot save the man, cannot save the human being. But Joshua resembles Jesus, Christ. With his grace, we can pass. We can earn the heavenly Jerusalem.
Very good, very good. That's true. Moses actually symbolizes the law and all the rituals of the law. And the law with all the sacrifices in the Old Testament, with all the worship in the Old Testament, cannot save the person. Just they can point to us, that is the Promised Land. But they cannot take us into the Promised Land. They cannot. That's why all the prophets and the righteous people in the Old Testament, after they died, where did they go? Did they go to heaven? Actually, all of them went to Hades. And they remained in Hades until Jesus Christ was crucified and descended into Hades and opened the gate of Hades and actually saved all these people from Hades and took them to the paradise. And the word Joshua, actually Joshua means what? Yeah, it means savior. And بالعربي يشوع والسيد المسيح اسمه ايه؟ يسوع. It's the same word. يشوع and يسوع. It's the same word, Joshua and Jesus. It's the same word, which means the Savior. So actually, Moses, the law, cannot save the people. But only Jesus, who made with us a new covenant, can save us. That's why Moses couldn't enter the Promised Land, but it's only Jesus who can take us through the Promised Land. Very good. The Ark of Covenant symbolizes what? The Ark of Covenant has three things. Do you know what are the contents of the Ark of Covenant? Now? Rod of Aaron, very good. The tabernacle, yeah, Ten Commandments, the tablets, with any. Manna. Very good. Okay. The manna symbolizes what? Bread of life. So means what? Symbolizes what? حد قال هنا حاجة سمعتها. Communion. Exactly. So actually, the manna inside the Ark of Covenant symbolizes the communion, the bread of life. And the two tablets, the Ten Commandments, symbolizes what? The Bible. Very good. The Word of God, the Bible. Aaron's rod symbolizes what? Do you know the story of Aaron's rod? What's the story?
When
ايه القصه behind it؟ Yes, it blossomed without. But at that time, yes, Aaron's rod, a symbol of Saint Mary, blossomed without, you know, marriage. Because this rod actually blossomed without being planted. That's right. But at that time, what's the story of Aaron's rod in the Old Testament? I'm not speaking about the symbol. What's the story of Aaron's rod? What's the story?
Questioning why Aaron should be the chosen one, so they put the rods in his rod is the one that blossomed.
Exactly. Very good. So many people said, why Aaron is a priest or the high priest? We can also be priests. And some people, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they start actually to make censers and to raise incense. Do you know what happened to them? And what happened to them? Exactly. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them. And then God, in order to prove to them that he chose Aaron to be the high priest, because as we read in Hebrews, nobody can take this honor from himself, but he who is called from God as Aaron. So God asked them to take a rod from each tribe. And he told them, put these rods before me in the tabernacle of meeting, and the rod that will blossom, it will be the family that I chose, or the tribe that I chose to serve me. And it was Aaron's rod. So Aaron's rod that blossomed to that planting, in order actually to indicate that God chose Aaron and his children to be the priests of God. So Aaron's rod symbolizes what? You exactly symbolizes that priesthood. So here we have in the Ark of Covenant, the Bible, the communion, and also the priesthood. So in a way, the Ark of Covenant symbolizes what? Where do you find these three things? The Word of God, communion, and priests. Church, exactly in the Eucharist. In the divine liturgy, you know, when you go to the church, you'll find the priests there, and you'll find, you know, the mangaleya with the Bible above it, and we read from the Bible during the divine liturgy. And on the altar, actually, you have what? We have the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here, I want you to imagine with me, we have Joshua, symbolizes Christ himself, our leader, the author and finisher of our faith, and we have the priests carrying the Ark of Covenant, and the Ark of Covenant symbolizes actually the church, the divine liturgy, worshiping in the church, and also we have the people who are crossing the Jordan River. Crossing the Jordan River symbolizes what? Yeah, the people symbolizes us. Like crossing the Jordan River in itself symbolizes what? Now? Our life? What do you mean our life? So it's our life following the Bible and take communion. It's our journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody think here?
Baptism.
What do you think? Can we say crossing the Jordan River symbolizes baptism? Yes or no? Yes. A symbol of baptism from the Old Testament and New Testament. Why? Okay, think about it. But actually, that's the right answer. But I thought you know what. Our life to eternal life. Very good. So it's like a turning point between the old covenant and the new covenant. And he said it is our, you know, going from this life to eternal life. Okay. Going back to baptism. Do you agree it's baptism? You don't agree it's baptism? Very good. Actually, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, St. Paul said, they crossed two things. They crossed the Red Sea from the land of Egypt. And in the land of Egypt, you are an unbeliever. In the land of slavery. And crossing the Red Sea, actually that is, as St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, this is actually the baptism. And then your journey in the wilderness, that's your journey in the world. And then crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land, it is actually crossing into heavenly Jerusalem. Crossing into heavenly Jerusalem. But actually, it has another meaning. This is like a turning point between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because God made two covenants with the people. As we read in Jeremiah, and St. Paul actually quotes these verses in Hebrews chapter 8. God made a new covenant with his birth. And made a new covenant with the people. And entering the promised land as if we are entering into the new covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are three main differences between the old covenant and the new covenant. And you can read these three differences in Hebrews chapter 8. Do you know what are the three main differences between the covenant that God made with the people? Because God told them, I will make with you a new covenant, not as the covenant that I made with your fathers when they came out of the land of Egypt. What are these three main differences between the old covenant and new covenants? If you have your Bible with you, you can go to Hebrews chapter 8, the last about seven verses, you'll find the answer there. Yes. Sure. Why? Why don't ask you why? No death. Through communion. So, in the Old Covenant, when we sin, the punishment is you surely die. But in the New Covenant, actually, our sins are forgiven. Very good. This is actually one of the three differences. God said to them that in the New Covenant, I will forgive their sins. I will forgive their sins. Told Allah, from the Old Testament, my God forgive to David. No, it was a promise of forgiveness. Because if David was completely forgiven, he wouldn't go to Hades after he died. But now, any righteous person who dies, he goes now to paradise for sure. He doesn't go to Hades. So, in Old Testament, there was no forgiveness. But there was a promise of forgiveness. But actually, in the New Testament, there is forgiveness. And this is actually what we read here in Hebrews chapter 8. لما بتكلم على the new covenant. قال, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So this one of the three differences in the God will forgive our sins. And that's why we have the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ on the altar every time we enter the church and we take it to forgive our sins. What else? What are the two other differences? Yes. Actually, the new covenant is open for everybody, but what about the Ninevites? God sent them Jonah in the Old Testament. Which God sent Jonah to the Ninevites, and the Ninevites were Gentile.
But they would always go to... Yeah.
Okay. Actually, this is true, but this is not one of the 3 points that Hebrews mentioned, St. Paul mentioned in Hebrews chapter 8. I'm referring to the three differences. There are many, many differences between Old Covenant and New Covenant, and this can be one of them, but I'm referring to the three differences that St. Paul mentioned in Hebrews chapter 8, quoting Jeremiah. Yes. It's fulfillment of the prophecies, yes. Jesus Christ after the order of Melchizedek. That's good. But I'm speaking again about Hebrews chapter 8. What else? Yes, son. Exactly. Very good. What does it mean? None of them can read it for us.
It's Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them.
So how this is different from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Yes. Huh? The Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit inside us and teaches us. Okay. That's true. In the Old Testament, God did not communicate with the people directly. God communicated with the people through a mediator. This mediator called the prophet. So God appeared to Isaiah and told him, Go and say to my people. God appeared to Jeremiah and told him, Go and tell my people. So God did not communicate directly with the people, but he communicated with them through a prophet, a mediator. And actually, when you attended the Liturgy of Nativity this week, the Pauline letter from Hebrews chapter 1, God, in days past, he spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. But now, he is speaking to us through Jesus Christ, his Son. Hebrew 1, verse 1. So, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, God speaks to us directly. Yes, he still speaks to us through mediators, but also he speaks to us directly. But in the Old Testament, God only spoke to the people through a mediator, through prophets. But now he is speaking to us directly through his Son, Jesus Christ, and also through the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, whom we received in the sacrament of confirmation. The third difference. Yes. Very good. The law was written on a tablet of stone. But in the New Testament, it's written in our hearts. What does it mean? What does it mean? Written in a tablet of stone or written in our hearts? I have the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? Yes. A living word. What does it mean? The tablet of stones symbolizes what? Rigidity, yeah, stiffness of heart, you know. That's why in Ezekiel, I will remove your stony hearts and I will give you hearts of flesh, you know. So in the Old Testament, the people's heart were hardened by sin, by rebellion against God. That's why they hear the voice of God and rebel. But in the New Testament, because we receive the Holy Spirit, so now God actually replaced our hardened hearts by hearts of flesh. So we became more, that's the work actually of grace. Because as you read in John chapter 1, the law was given by Moses, but the grace and truth given by Jesus Christ. That's the work of grace in our life. It changed our heart from hardened hearts into hearts of flesh. So, crossing the Jordan River means we are entering into a new covenant with God. In this covenant, we will enjoy the grace of God. Our hearts will be more receptive to His word. In this covenant, in this new covenant, actually, we will, because we are more receptive, we will be taught directly from God and the Holy Spirit. And also, because of this, when we sin against God and repent, we will be forgiven through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now, we imagine the whole scene. We have Jesus, the leader of the journey. We have the church that has the Bible, that has the priests, that has the communion, which means the sacraments of the church. And we have the people crossing the Jordan River, which means we are entering into a new covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. So this what we actually we will enjoy during these few days, to reflect on crossing the Jordan River with, you know, the church and our eyes fixed on our Lord Jesus Christ, the leader of this journey, and how we will overcome the obstacles, and we see how the river will be split, and we can walk until we enjoy and enter this new covenant with God. So going back to the questions, first question, do you remember when this journey started? 2 years ago in our convention, 2 years ago, صح? When the journey started in Egypt, when they actually left the land of Egypt. Okay? And what did they do before leaving the land of Egypt? This is something very important.
They did the lamb.
Passover lamb. Passover lamb. Very good. Second question. Do you know roughly how many years Israel spent from the time the journey began until the day they crossed the river Jordan to Canaan? 4 years. 40 years. Yes. احنا بنقولها 40. انتوا بتقولوا 40. How would you describe Israel? That's a very important question. Then that we'll reflect on it during the this convention. How would you describe Israel through this journey until the day of crossing the Jordan? How describe them during their journey in the wilderness? Rebellious. Very good. Number one, they were rebellious. 18. Complainers. Very good. على طول كده. They were not satisfied. All the time they were making complaints. خرج بيقول لك فين اللحمة بتاعت مصر؟ فين الكرات؟ فين التوم بتاع مصر؟ مش عارف كان عجبهم في ايه التوم بتاع مصر؟ والطعمية. ايه تاني؟ يبقى they complained.
خليز
الرقبة. Stiff neck. Hardened of heart. Yeah, very good. يبقى هما كانوا rebellious, complainers, and hardened heart. ايه تاني؟ نعم؟ Greedy. ازاي؟ Actually, yes, واحد قال لهم don't keep to the next day, and somebody kept it to the next day, and what happened to it? Yeah, actually, it turned into worms. Okay, wait any. Forgetful. Forgetful of what?
God did for them. Like they forgot how He parted the Red Sea for them. And
that's what we call it spiritual amnesia. When they actually forget the works of God with them. Right. And how would you describe God? Huh? In dealing with the children of patient, long suffering. طبعاً يعني ربنا طول باله عليهم. يعني he فعلا he was very very patient and long suffering. What else?
He was wrathful, very angry sometimes.
Wrathful, yes. He was disappointed and angry with them. What else? Very good. Merciful. Can you give me example? And he accepted the intercession of Moses. One time, God actually decided to destroy all of them and said to Moses, I will make you a greater nation. But Moses told him, if you destroy them, wipe my name from the book of life. And actually, God accepted his intercession and he was merciful with them. What was the only condition? ده بقى هتلاقوها في جاشو شابتر 3 اللي احنا قريناه مع بعض. What was the only condition for crossing the river and seeing God's wonders? And what does this mean? If you forgot, just read the Joshua chapter 3. And there was one condition. They have to do it so that the Jordan River will be split. Be holy. To sanctify themselves. What else? Huh? Before or after the split? Before. Very good. Actually, ربنا قال له حاجة عجيبة قوي. قال له ينزلوا المية في الأول. يعني مع crossing the Red Sea, ربنا قال له Moses, hit the water, it will split, then they will cross. But in crossing the Jordan River, ربنا قال له لا. قال له خلي the priests actually to step in the water, and after actually their foot touches the bottom of the river, then it will split. What does this mean? Huh? Faith, exactly. In order to be able to cross the Jordan River, you need to trust God's promises. You need to believe in Him. عشان كده in Hebrews. يقول لك and most of them were destroyed in the wilderness because the lack of their faith. And faith is confidence. It's not just I believe. It's confidence that whatever God said, He will fulfill. يعني in Hebrews chapter 11, when St. Paul speaks about faith and the heroes of faith, you see people how they made actually big and major decisions in their life based on the word of God. ربنا قال لإبراهيم go, follow me, leave your family and your land and everything and follow me. Where I'm going to go, no, it's not your business, just follow me. And Abraham followed God even not knowing where he is going. That's faith. God قال له go and offer Isaac a sacrifice. He believed, and he believed in Isaac actually will be raised again. He believed that he will, after he offers him as a sacrifice, God will raise him from the death. That's why he said to his two servants, we will worship and we will return to you. And St. Paul in his justification, he was like, Abraham believed that God will raise him from the death because actually Isaac was born from the dead womb of Sarah. So as if God made resurrection when Isaac was born from the dead womb of Sarah. In the same way, even if you offered him as a sacrifice, God will raise him. This faith, you trust the word of God no matter what. So when God asked them to touch the bottom of the Jordan River, this was actually a test of faith. And let me tell you, God is testing our faith. God, many times, He puts us in a situation, what we are going to choose? Are we going to obey Him? Are we going to obey His commandments? You have to go through this test of faith. And when we go through this, actually we will see the wonders. عشان كده السؤال بيقول لك ايه, and seeing God's wonders, your eyes will not be opened to see the wonders of God in your life unless if you pass the exam, unless you pass the exam of the test of faith. So you need to pass test of faith so that your eyes will be opened in order to see the wonders of God in your life. Because through faith, we will see the unseen. We will see the unseen. That's through faith. Question 5. Based on your answer, why was Israel asked to follow the ark at a distance while crossing the river? But the answer in the chapter. Why God asked them to follow at a distance?
Because they had not passed that way before.
Because he didn't know the way. And what does this mean in our life?
Follow, the church will show you.
Yeah. Actually, when God leads our life, He doesn't give us direction. You know, if, for example, listen, you are coming to this convention driving and you don't know the direction. You go to like Google or you ask somebody, you would only give me direction for like make a right turn, left turn, until you reach the hotel. But in God leading us, He doesn't give us direction to eternal life or kingdom of heaven. You know what He makes with us? Actually, yes. He is holding our hands and leading us step by step. And that's what we say in the Divine Liturgy when we say, lead us throughout the way into your kingdom. Lead us throughout the way means what? If I'm going to give you direction, I'm not leading throughout the way. But leading throughout the way means I have, God is holding my hand and walking me step by step. But God does not impose Himself on anybody. I have to accept Him. And I have to ask Him to hold my hand and have my eyes fixed on Him and following His steps until we reach the promised land. And the last question, based on your knowledge of the story of Exodus, what are the major areas that people of Israel needed to work on in order to sanctify their lives? Life of sanctification. It's all to hear that in relation to question number 4. So, it's all to rebellion. Rebellion, or they were rebellious. Enter Lahdib a rebellious. It's a sign of what? Sign of what? Bless. Rebellious. Mean be gaub. Gaub sah, enti? Ulti? Pride. Actually, it is pride. Usually, the person who is prideful rebels. So what area they need to work on? They have to acquire what? Which virtue? Humility. Very good. And actually, their hearts were hardened. So what area they need to work on? Brokenness. Any brokenness? To break your heart for God. How you do it? What makes my heart hardened? Sin. So in order to soften my heart, what should I do? To repent. So they need to work on the purity of their hearts. The purity of their hearts. And also, they were complaining. They were complainers. So what they need to work on? to be more patient, to be more patient and wait for the promises of God. And also, برضو إن هما they didn't have faith. So what they need to work on? In هما to believe in God and actually to surrender their life to God, right? To trust God and to give their life to God. That's why the lectures of this convention are about humility, purity of heart, giving to God, and patience. So these are the four lectures, because these are the four areas that the children of Israel needed to work on in their life to sanctify their life. Humility, purity of heart, giving or surrendering to God, and patience. Do you have any questions or comments on this chapter? Joshua chapter 3? Okay. Thank you. Glory be to God forever. Amen.